Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host, and it is the second Friday of February. And on the second Friday of each month, I do a show called Free Advice Friday, where I take your calls and I answer your questions about narcissistic abuse issues. If you would like to call in and ask me your question, the number to call is 424-220-1801, and I look forward to hearing from you, hearing what your questions, concerns are, and maybe some advice or some tips that maybe have worked for you that you would like to share with my listening audience. This show that I do is by far the most listened to. I do two shows a week, and I usually have guests on my show, but on the Free Advice Friday, it's just me speaking to you, hopefully with you, and I am, it's just me, so I would really like to hear from you. So I do have a very quick question from one of my listeners, and actually she is a client of mine, and I'll read her question to you and then answer it. And then I'll go on to talk about what I really want to talk about today as we approach Valentine's Day. So, okay, the question is, if you have filed for divorce, what tactics would be helpful to get the narcissist to move out of your home that you both own together? Legally, he does not have to, but it would be in the best interest of the family. Any other suggestions for dealing with a narcissist from the time the divorce is filed until it is finalized? This, as we have talked about, is not a very easy thing to do. It's very hard to beat the narcissist at his or her game. The only thing that you can do is to focus on the needs of the narcissist. What is it that they really want out of all of this? Even though they've done you wrong and treated you horribly, in order to get what you want, you really do have to kind of kiss up to them, make them feel important, feed into their narcissism. And whatever you want them to do, it has to be their idea to do it. And they have to think that they're getting over on you by doing it. So I really don't have a specific answer to that question. All I know is it's a matter of playing head games. You could say something like, it seems like you're not really happy here, and that you might be happy elsewhere. We can work out the details of splitting up the property afterwards, but, you know, maybe you'd want to go somewhere else for a little while. I don't have the answer, the exact answer to this question. I know you are my client, and we've talked about this, and you actually have had some kind of luck doing this through your personal experience and the way things have worked out for you. But I really don't know how to get the person out. You know, when push comes to shove, it usually has to be legal. It's hard to keep these things nice on a friendly level, which is put you in a predicament because if you have children, you would like it to be a congenial relationship, at least with your ex, in so that your children don't have to suffer. I don't know if that's really possible because when you divorce a narcissist, to them, divorce means losing control over you, and that infuriates the narcissist. So they become obsessed with trying to think of ways to destroy you, and usually they do that through the children. And this is what's commonly known as parental alienation. And I can actually talk about parental alienation maybe a little bit later in the show. All I know is that before you divorce a narcissist, it's very important that you get your ducks in a row. You have to deal with your children in a special way. You have to deal with your finances in a special way. You have to make sure that the narcissist cannot bleed you dry. And I don't know if this is something I can totally talk about in a show in the limited amount of time I have, but I have several clients who come to me with this kind of issue. And their children are at all stages of development. Some are young, some are teenage, some are adults and out of the house. And what happens is the parent who was the abused is held responsible for everything that happened in the divorce because the narcissistic spouse will blame everything on that person and convince the children that the abused spouse is truly the abuser. And this is something that happens in pretty much all narcissistic relationships. It's not bad enough that we get abused, but our abuser turns us into the perpetrator, and they act like the victim. And it is maddening. It is maddening. But the thing that you have, my listeners, that people who don't listen or have not read up on this don't have, is that you have the ability to understand the workings of the narcissistic mind and to play into it for your own benefit. And sometimes that means doing things that go against your grain. You know, I tell people that dealing with a narcissist is counterintuitive. It goes against every bit of logic you will ever have. So the way that you would deal with the average person is not the way you're going to deal with a narcissist. The way your lawyer would deal with the average person is not the way they need to deal with the narcissist. The legal system is very vulnerable to these predators. They buy into what these predators sell. And you, as the innocent, somebody who does not think in terms of predatory behavior, you think that just being kind and nice is going to get you what you need, and that's not exactly true. So you've got to play the game the way the narcissist plays it. And the way to do that is to give them what they want, knowing that as you give them what they want, you get more of what you want. So that's pretty much, you know, what I have to say about that. I wish it was easier. I wish I had a way to tell you how to make the narcissist leave. In every situation, with every person that I deal with, this is always the hardest thing. You know, and as the victim of this kind of abuse, all you want to do is run. And it's probably the best thing you can do, because there's no really, there's nothing you can do to make this any better. But you can manipulate the narcissist to get some things that you want. Now, you're not going to walk out of this relationship with everything that you expect. You are going to have to give up some things in order to get out of this relationship. But in the end, the most important thing is that you do get out, because things and money are replaceable. Your sanity, your mental health, and your physical health are not replaceable. And you cannot live a good life. You cannot live a happy life. You cannot take care of your children or your family or your grandchildren or even yourself if you're caught up in all this crazy dysfunction. So getting out is really the most important thing. And if you do have to give up some things, then so be it. Place your gratitude where it needs to be, on the most important things in life and not on material things, because material things are going to get you in trouble in this situation. Trying to hold on to them, trying to cling to the things that you have, the things that you have with this person, are going to keep you attached to this person. So you may have to give up some things, and just know that going into this. So with Valentine's Day just a couple of days away, I wanted to talk about love, because love is something that most of us who have been victimized by narcissists really don't understand. And it's why we think that we love the narcissist and why we think the narcissist loves us. Because our definition of love is distorted. And that happens because if we never witness love, if we never witness true love in our lives, if it's never shown to us in a way by our parents or those who we're very, very close with, if we never really see what love means, then we don't understand it. And we think that other things are love. And love means caring deeply about someone's spiritual growth. And it takes many forms, but the root of all love is selflessness. To genuinely love someone, we must be willing and ready to attend to his or her needs, regardless of how we are feeling. We must have the discipline to set our own agenda aside and shift our attention to our beloved at a moment's notice. We must be willing to extend ourselves beyond the comforts of our own limits to nurture the other person. Now, as I say this, I'm thinking to myself, you're probably thinking, well, I do all those things. And absolutely, I'm sure that you do all those things. Or you wouldn't be in this kind of relationship, because the narcissist is using you for doing all these things. What I'm trying to tell you is that this is what you need to expect from your partner. So yes, it's fine to give it, but it's also important that you expect it. Romantic love is a journey of teamwork, and it's a journey of friendship. It takes two committed people deciding that they want this. Love is the act of two people with separate identities. Now, hear me when I say that, separate identities. So you must have an identity going into a relationship, a strong identity of who you are. So it is the act of two people with separate identities who are fully secure and capable of living without each other, making the choice to share their lives with each other. So if you're coming into a relationship and your partner's coming into a relationship and you don't have a full identity, and the identity includes things like self-love and self-esteem, the ability to self-validate, the ability to be able to set boundaries in life, all these kind of things, if you come into a relationship and any of those things are missing, you are not bringing a full person into this relationship. And the other person should have the same. So if you get into a relationship with someone that doesn't have these things, you're taking on a project. And the first thing that you need to do is work on yourself and develop these kind of things inside of yourself so that you bring a whole person to a relationship. Otherwise, you're just heading for disaster. So a healthy, loving relationship can only exist when the individuality of each partner is honored and sustained. Love can only grow in the soil of respect and acceptance. In a romantic relationship or marriage, love is trusting and love is kind. We love another by allowing our partner the freedom to live his or her life and have space without feeling threatened by the person's choices. So a narcissist wants to control you. You don't have freedom to live your life and have your space without being threatened. Your choices are condemned, and you're made to feel guilty for having your own life and having your own choices. This is not love. And the feelings that you have towards this person, how can you love someone who does not love and respect you? So are we looking at love, or are we looking at an attachment or a fear of abandonment or a love that we fantasize that happened in the beginning of our relationship that probably never really existed? That's not love. You know, in the beginning of the relationship, it's love is infatuation. It's this lofty emotion. And we often characterize it by the overwhelming feeling that we associate with it when we feel giddy and we are falling in love. This is a feeling that eventually fades and gets replaced by reality. So are you loving this person because of the reality of who this person is, or are you loving this person based on the fantasy of this giddy feeling that you had when you were falling in love? Genuine love is not a feeling, but it's the act of what happens when that giddy feeling inside stops fluttering and it becomes the act of commitment. The choice we make to commit ourselves to another person is what allows us to make this transition from falling in love, which is a feeling, to the act of genuine love. And at this time, the checklist we made about the qualities we were looking for in a person flies out the window. But the narcissist will check off, will fulfill your entire checklist. They will be all that you wished for, but they will not come through on all that you wished for. And that's going to happen fairly soon. And it happens as soon as they know that they have you. Infatuation is a fantasized, idealized, rabid emotion. But love is the act of carefully nurturing that emotion. They both begin the same way, and it takes time to differentiate between the two because our hormones deceive us when we are feeling this infatuation in the beginning. And though they feel great, these emotions are not stable, reliable, or sturdy. They're unstable, unreliable, and fleeting. And in time, when the newness of the relationship wears off, the intensity of our emotions will normally die down and the infatuation fades. But we get kind of drunk on this narcissistic love in the beginning, and we felt it and we want more. The allurement and fluency of real love constantly ebbs and flows. To have true love means staying committed to the other person through all the ups and downs of the relationship, sticking it out no matter what emotions we are feeling or what rough patches our relationship is going through. And we will do that for the narcissist. We will stick through them, and we will believe in them, and we'll make excuses for their behavior, and we'll say they don't really mean it. And when they show us a little bit of kindness or throw us a few crumbs, we say, there's that person. That person is, that's the person I know, and that's the real person. Well, that is not the real person. The real person is the person that shows him, his or herself to you every single day and is not committed to sticking with you through all your ups and downs. As a matter of fact, they take your ups and downs personally, because you're taking away their narcissistic supply when you go through your ups and downs. They want you completely focused on them. Okay, I have a caller. I'm going to take this question. Hi, this is area code 850. What is your question?
Hi, I had a comment. I just wanted to say, when you were talking about head games and what my comment was, I grew up under narcissist, sociopath parents, and so they are really good at head games. And so about a year and a half ago, I went to zero contact with my, mother, father, and, brothers and sisters. And now it came to the point where now they're going and saying, well, how come, he doesn't have anything to do with it? What did I do wrong? And it's kind of funny how the tide turned, when you go zero contact, now all of a sudden, they want to know, what did I do? Not me, but, what did we do wrong? And it's kind of like, wow, but I don't pay it any attention. I'm just kind of like, the other day, it was about a month ago, somebody said, well, why don't you talk to your father anymore? And I just, said to myself, I just said, well, outwardly, I just said, well, he's a really good father. But inwardly, I just said, I'm done. I don't play those games anymore, But,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because in reality, he's the same guy, hit, kick, slap, bats, belts, boots, threw you down the stairs, tried suing me. You know what I mean? So there's a whole list of a lot of things, But it's just funny, the games that they play. And as far as the structurals of the family, I was the one who lied to myself throughout my whole life and said, a family, but we were never a family. I wanted that family really bad, but never had it, So the little bits and pieces they throw to you, you were like, oh, this is great. But when you look back, it really wasn't.
Right. Crumbs. They throw you crumbs.
Crumbs.
And because you're so hungry, you eat them up and you think it's the most amazing thing.
And when you made that comment about...
Is your family reaching out to you?
They were, and I just stood my ground. I'm not going back and playing those games anymore, because what happens now that I'm married and have my own children is it drags me down and then drags my wife and children down. So I'm done. I put that wall up and I'm done.
Okay.
I can't do
good
that
for
anymore
you.
With them.
And people think that that's an easy thing to do. People that have not gone through narcissistic abuse think that's an easy, that's a cop-out. That is a very difficult decision to make and a very difficult thing to do, because you divorce your family. You give up on the family, and your family is your hopes and your dreams. It's holidays.
Right.
It's celebrations. So giving that up is a very difficult thing. Kudos to you for doing the hard thing.
No. And when you were given the advice of when you walk away, even if you just walk away with your sanity, a little while ago. I don't know, you're reading
yes.
a letter or whatever.
Yes.
You know how
yes.
true that is, you know, because I worked in a so-called family business with everybody, but I could keep you on a phone for hours with this one. But you know how true that is. If you walk away with just your sanity and you walk away with nothing else, you're $1 million ahead. You know what I mean?
Oh, so well said. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And often that's what you have to do. It's
yes.
really not about the things. And thank you for that confirmation. I do remember saying that. And thank you for reinforcing that point for the
no,
listeners, because they need to hear that.
Thank you. Today's show, excellent, excellent. I love today's show.
Oh, good. Oh, good. That's amazing. Yeah, you know, yes, the family will reach out from time to time. They will get wonderful, but it's all about hoovering. It's all about, you know, trying to be a little vulnerable or seem vulnerable so they'll suck you back in. But you're too smart. You figured them out. They've
yeah.
lost their power. That's the thing.
Yes.
Once you figure the
and
narcissist out, you hold the kryptonite.
Yeah. Hey, they may have beat you down. They may have. But when you get up and you realize and you dust yourself off, it's like, whoo, I'm a new person, man. You know?
Isn't that amazing? I love hearing this. Thank you so much
yes.
for sharing this, because it is so true. Once you know, I tell
yeah.
people, it'll feel like the floor is dropping out from under you. But
yeah.
it is. And it only allows you
yeah.
to rebuild a stronger foundation.
Yes. And don't give up. You know, there were so many days I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't care if I lived or died. And then I look back and go, I cared what these idiots thought about me. I'm a person.
Yes.
I'm a person. You know, and,
yes.
And I valued my life over these fools. I wanted to die for these fools. Man, I'm a person. I'm a person. You know, get up
right.
today and take a deep breath. You're somebody. You're somebody.
Thank you. Oh, that's so important. You know, I had written down a comment before today's show that I wanted to share. It's something I've said before, but maybe not on this particular show. You know, I don't know. Not everybody is spiritual in their beliefs. And when I say that, I don't mean religious. I just mean spiritual in the sense that we reach out, you know, we believe that there's something beyond us or something unseen,
yeah.
an unseen force that works in our life. And it is said, and I've read this many places, and I've also seen this, found this to be very true in life, is that only the bravest souls come to Earth school. You know, not everybody incarnates
wow.
again. Not everybody reincarnates. It is us who are very brave and who want to grow our souls in the spiritual realm and grow and grow and grow and become the most just to reach the highest aspiration our souls can reach. And you can only do that here in this negative place. Earth school is a very heavy, laden, negative place. We cannot grow in the spiritual world. We have to come here. So
right.
the bravest of us come here and we take on these major, major lessons. And
yeah.
they're there before us for us to jump the hurdles and rise above them. That's why they're there. We're not
yeah.
here to just sit back and take it.
No, no, because there's a point where you just can't take it anymore. You can't.
That's right. That's right. And each one of us, the gift of life is a very beautiful gift, and we're supposed to live it, and it is our right to have joy in our life. And anyone that
yes.
wants to take that joy away from us needs to go. It doesn't matter if they
yeah.
gave birth to you. It doesn't matter if they're your relative, who they are, and why they're in your life. If they're sucking your life, the life out of you, and stealing your joy and stealing your soul, they have to go.
Yes. Yes, that is so
yes.
true. You know, even you know, we have children of our own who are, you know, in our 20s now, and you want your children to be their best. You want your children to supersede you. You don't want to hold your children down. You know, would you want you to hold your children under your thumb or under your heel? That's ridiculous. You want your children to to be great things in life, you know, how would you feel as a parent, you know, to be downgrading your child and telling them you're dumb and stupid? And do you know what I mean? How low?
I do know what you mean, and I really like that you said that, because for all everyone out there listening, if you cannot do this, if you cannot heal for yourself, do it for your children, because if you don't create these boundaries in your life, you cannot show them to your children. Your children are watching everything you say and do, and they will do what you do, and they will say what you say.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if one parent is healthy and the other is not. The greater influence on them is the parent who is not.
Right. We don't get repeats in life, so make the first go around the best. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
You're doing so great. Can I ask you how you were able to get the strength to do this?
You know, it would be it's kind of funny. There was this one of those days where it was either do or die, you know what I mean? And it was a bad day, you know. It was one of the, I told you, my father, he was actually wanting to sue me, and I got a letter in the mail from an attorney, and it was bad, you know.
Okay.
And that was one of the, you know, one of those last straws that broke the camel's back with me. And you know how a sociopath, narcissist, whatever, they just want to keep you down and down and down and down and down. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it, and I was doing everything I could just to hurt myself at that point. You know, because it was, you know, at that point, I mean, I was called every name and just. It was just bad, you know. And so my wife just said to me, she said, you know, kind of like one of those things, are you just going to do it or what, you know, because I can't take this anymore. And when I saw my wife's eyes, I don't know, there was just something right there that had to change, you know. I knew I was hurting her, but I didn't realize how much.
Okay.
And I, you know, I was kind of like one of those mopey.
Yeah.
That was it, you know, like
that was your pivotal point.
I mean, I gained so much weight, I was drinking so much, I was smoking so much that I really didn't care about myself, you know. And then I didn't have the courage to stand up for myself. My wife was doing it for me. I lost my job, I lost everything, you know. And then but here we are, you know, fast forwarded 10 years later, I'm 125 pounds lighter, I don't smoke. You know, we're still married. You know what I mean? So, you know,
oh my gosh,
things are really
good. It's so important. It's so important that you called in today. I really, really value this call because it shows everyone out there who is hurting that this can, that you can change this in your life. And I'm so, so grateful for you calling in. Thank you so much.
I just like shows like this because you know what? If you can just do one thing, not for me, for whoever's listening or whatever, you got to talk about it. You can't just hold it in because it eats at you. And you know what I mean? That day after day, I wasn't eating, you know, I was eating at that point, but I wasn't eating right. I wasn't sleeping right. And it just, it runs havoc on you. You know what I mean? It ruins
right.
you. It
right.
ruins your life. It ruins the people around you. And for what? You know what I mean? At least find a support group. I mean, talk to somebody that you can trust and change
Absolutely.
It, you know, change it for you. Don't change it for anybody else, but change your life for you because you deserve it. You're better than all that. You really are. Listen to me just for once, you know, just for a guy who was living in cars and you know, when he was running away from home and living in, you know, on the streets of Chicago and living in, you know, under Vidocs and foster care. All because of my parents, you know. I was only 13 years old when I first ran away in like 3 feet of snow.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? And I kept going
back
and back and back and back. But you can change things. You got the power. Nothing's holding you back. You know what I mean? Except your mind. You know, your parents, they lock your mind up with those silly things that they say to you. And, you know, but you can change it. You can change anything you want.
That's right.
You,
it
you
is
do
never...
it for yourself.
Narcissistic abuse is never about the victim. as children, it's not about you. You were born into this world a perfectly beautiful human being, and there's nothing wrong with you. It doesn't matter what they said to you. You were a perfectly beautiful human being. So those were just lies. They're just lies. And they're meant, told to you by a parasite who wants to keep you down and feed off of you.
There you go.
And that's all it is.
And here,
you want
me to tell you, here, let me tell a zillion people on the earth, you know what you did wrong? Nothing. You did nothing as a child wrong.
Thank you.
Nothing.
Thank you.
But it took
you
me 45 years to figure that out. I did nothing wrong.
Right.
But I carried that baggage around with me forever.
Yes.
And when you lay that baggage down, you're going to be a new person. You're going to be stronger than, Hercules. You know what I mean? You're going to have a new lease on life. You'll put the bottle down. You'll put the cigarettes down. You're going to sleep better at night. You know what I mean? You're going to be a new person.
Yes, 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 yes. All those things. It's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
So happy you called in today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I'm gonna continue talking a little bit more about love. And do you mind if I put you back on hold?
Not at all. Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, sure. Anytime. Wow, that's an amazing call. See, you know, we don't think we can do it. We're so beaten down. But I'm telling you, I mean, this was an amazing, amazing caller. I have clients that I work with, and I think I probably said it in my last show, I'm so excited because people are beginning to heal. But sometimes the perspective that you have is not one that is gonna contribute to your healing. Sometimes you just need to hear something. Sometimes it's one little word, one little phrase, just something that kicks in and changes your brain, and you go, oh my gosh, yes, I finally get it. I have people who've called me for months and months and months and months, just not getting it. And then all of a sudden, I get that call and that session with them where they go, I got it. And they sound so different. So if you're out there and you are listening to these shows and you're having a hard time getting it, it just might be a few little words. And that's what I'm here for. That's why I do the counseling that I do. Because sometimes I can just say something to you that will release you from this pain and this prison that you're in. So, you know, please reach out if you need it. So anyway, so here we go. Valentine's Day is on the horizon, and we may or may not be with the one we love, or we may be with one we love who does not love us. But let's make Valentine's Day a day of self-love. Let's make it a day where we decide that no matter what love is coming externally, that we are going to create the greatest love of all from within. That is what Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2017, is going to be about. It's about loving ourselves, giving ourselves hearts, giving ourselves hugs, giving ourselves love, and not taking crumbs from other people, not accepting that, because you are worth more. And I want you all to know that I love all of you. And I'm sending love. And before we went on air, I sent all of you love. I want you to know that you are lovable and that it doesn't matter what you look like, what you've been told, you are lovable. You are a gift and you are here on this earth for a very, very important reason. And I want you to be aware of that and nurture that and look in the mirror every morning and love yourself a little bit more that day than you do the next. Just, or the day before, just say, today I'm going to love myself a little bit more than I did yesterday. And, you know, it could be a millimeter, but millimeters add up to miles. And eventually you will be there. So baby steps. So today's show is about love. Loving others the right way, but I don't think that that's as much of an issue as it is as loving yourself is. So that's what we want to focus on. And I'm doing my show. Thanks to all of you who are now part of Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United on Facebook. If you have not joined the page, I welcome you. If you would like to reach out to me for counseling, you can always go to randygfine.com and then go to the tab that says Fine Life Issues Counseling, and you can talk to me by either Skype or phone. I'm available to help you. I want to help you, and I'm very reasonable. So I am there for you. And that's pretty much it. So happy Valentine's Day. Love yourself. That's the message I'm going to leave you with. And may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.